crackers, to the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll sue you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. Your CG, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones? And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back? Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RAMs, zips, sits. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
Can you hear me now?
No.
Can you hear me now?
No.
Okay, well fine, then don't hear me then, but our listeners can hear me as I introduce them to Binary Revolution Radio, episode number 80, the big 80. Representing 80 episodes. I am Stank Dog. Today is January 25th, 2005. And my co-host, who apparently cannot hear me, can you hear me now?
No.
Damn. Well, my co-host who can't hear me is Voodoo Hal. So I guess we'll stumble through the show even though you can't hear me. Hopefully any minute now you'll kick in and start to be able to. Can you hear me now, though?
This is a singular phone. I may never be able to hear you.
Oh, good grief. Yeah, we won't even go there. Don't set me up with an easy... Yeah, anyway. We actually have... I always say this on every show, but it ends up being true, kind of. We have a big announcement on the end of this show. I've been hinting at it for a month or two now. Started hinting at it before Christmas, actually. So there will be an announcement at the end of the show. Pretty big announcement, and about some changes we're going to be making. So we'll give you details on that at the end of the show. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Also, while we're doing a little housekeeping here, Natus wants to let everybody know that he made some updates to oldschoolfreak.com, so go check those out. He just made that update yesterday, Monday. So go check out Old School Freak. Sort of some good freaking goodness. Good freaking goodness? That didn't sound right. Hey, shut up. You can't hear me. Oh, wait a minute. Can you hear me now?
Hell.
Damn. All right, well, I guess you could be quiet then while I play my theme music for the email. Oh, actually, did you have anything for housekeeping before we go into the email?
Not at all.
No? Okay, so let's play the email theme music. And let's jump into some email. We've got quite a few here. Let's see. Where should we start? Let's start with first email is from Mass Parallel. Mass Parallel says, Stank, dude, more Ilanka! !!! Okay, I over-exaggerated that part. She is wicked smart, and the cryptography stuff is super interesting. I have always been interested in puzzles and how cryptography works, so I found the episode very informative. So I say again, more Ilanka. As usual, keep up the good work. The show is great. Yeah, Ilanka, again, such a nice person and very good on the show. She was good. She already has agreed we'll do some more. We'll just kind of work out a schedule and get her on here more often, actually. Because, again, we have, you know, everybody on the show, it's not really so much a guest thing. These are co-hosts. People have more to say than, you know, people think Ilanka just the cryptography person. You know, there's a lot more to people's character than being so one-dimensional. So she's definitely going to be on the show, and we're going to talk about a lot of different topics. So definitely stay tuned for that. And I'm sorry?
On a side note to that real quick, you guys are interested, check out the archives from Freaknik 2003. She had a great talk on Oh, damn, one of the sculptures, I've forgotten the name.
The Cyrillic Projector.
Yeah.
Or Kryptos.
She did a great post on that. Yeah.
Yeah, she mentioned both of them briefly on the show. We'll probably go into more detail on some of those in the future. But, of course, you can go to her site. Again, it's elonka.com. I absolutely love to pimp out that site. She's got a lot of cool information about all of her projects. And her presentation from DEF CON, et cetera, is all available there. So, and she was in Wired Magazine this week. So, hey, congratulations to Elonka. There was an article, like several pages. There's a pretty good article from what I gave it the once-over. I need to go back and read it thoroughly. But I did read it once, and it looked pretty good. It looked pretty interesting. About the Kryptos project, really, is what the article was. But it mentioned, of course, Elonka quite a bit. So anyway, yes, so not only Elonka having her back on is great, but he mentioned that the cryptography stuff is super interesting. Well, I hope you also heard that follow-up. The very next episode, we had Decius on, who also knows, I mean, he taught me a lot about cryptography as well, most of it as it relates to file encryption and data and stuff like that, computer applications of cryptography. So Elonka showed us a lot of stuff, hopefully taught us a lot. I know she taught me a lot. And then Decius came in and followed up with an application of this is how you can use it in computers and how they work and what it means and some more terminology. So hopefully they're building on each other. So if you like that one, hopefully you also like Decius. He had a lot of great stuff to say as well. So if you haven't listened to that yet, go back and grab that episode as well. And stay tuned because we got lots of cool guests coming up in the future. We try to keep bringing lots of people in here and mix it up. There's another hint. Mix it up a lot around here so that we keep the content and the topics fresh. I know there's a lot of shows out there that'll go through news items and things like that, but we try to come topical. We try to spend an episode and do some in-depth analysis and discussion on a topic or two. Some of them may actually be based on something in the news or something, but we like to do more analysis and less reading. So mixing a lot of guests who have a lot of different opinions and ideas, to me, I think it makes for a good show. But what do I know? Hey, can you hear me now?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay, let's see. Second email comes from OOB, which what do we do? That stands for Over Our Breastises, is that?
Yeah.
Is that, no, it was out of bounds? No. I think frankly he said he didn't care. It was just OOB was fine.
Just three arbitrary, two arbitrary letters.
And a third arbitrary letter, yeah. Two vowels and a consonant. That's kind of
the same vowel, though. There are only two letters there.
That is true. We can make boo and oboe. Actually, those three letters, you can rearrange them in any order, and it's a word. No, I mean, I think oboe is oboe, O-B-O-E, though.
Yeah, it is.
Ah, crap. All right, well, it was almost a cool idea. Anyway, this guy's got to be tired of us picking on his name by now. We're not picking on it, but playing with his name. OOB says, "Hey, Stank, as usual, love your show, and yeah, in my opinion, when I compare it to the first episodes, your current shows are loads better. I love the episode with Elonka. You should get her back sometime." Yes, see above. Anyway, I frequent Google News quite often because it just amazes me how up-to-date and great it is, especially when you consider that it is compiled by a computer. But I have noticed something that bothers me, the fact that almost every site that is linked to Google News contains advertising powered by Google. So I'm forced to ask, is Google News hitting sites that contain the advertising as some form of payback to the sites in question? And if so, doesn't that make the news reported slightly lopsided? Well, what do you think on... You take this one. What do you think? If Google News is only pulling from sources that advertise with Google, it sounds like that could be biased, that could be skewed.
Well, most search engines really are.
Yeah, but do you think at this point, there is a point there. It is a good thing to think about. But at this point, Google being as large as they are, I hate to say it, but is there any site that doesn't have Google ads on it these days?
BinRev doesn't.
Well, that's right. We don't have ads from anybody, and I'm going to try to keep it that way. I won't put ads on there if it's somebody I support, like other sites that we support. Like, here, I'll give you a pimp. How about Homeless Hardware? I'll put links up to sites that I support that I think are good ideas and stuff like that. Hosting, good deals, others, you know, whatever. I'm not putting up banner ads or turning it into commercials or anything, but I put up links to sites that I want to support, even if it is like buying something or something that's, if I think it's of interest to the hacker community, I'm all over it. But yeah, no Google ads. Don't need them. If anybody that doesn't know about Google by now, what good are putting ads on my page going to do? We do have a Google flavored search in the tool and under the projects. There's a link that says tools, and we have a Google flavored search on there if you want to play around with that. I put that up a couple weeks ago in the tools section. But point being, the question at hand is, does it make the reporting lopsided to have sites that only have Google on it? One hand, I say, yeah, absolutely. But on the other, it's just one of those, they probably had those Google ads on there for some time, and the fact that they were going to link back when Google opened a news portal, which has been fair. How long have they had the news portal up? Less than a year?
Yeah, it hasn't been really that long at all.
So, I mean, they probably, came after the fact. They were probably already had the Google ads and stuff on there long before the news portal even came about. So, they might be unrelated, but you never know. You never know. Hopefully, again, Google's big motto and one of their primary thoughts is do no evil. Don't be evil. And I hope that they stick to that. You know, it's kind of hard to tell. But I guess until I see a little bit more proof or a little bit more of a regular pattern, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt for now. But that's just me. All right, let's see what else we have here. We have, this is an email from, I'm going to withhold the name just in case. It says, Stank Dog, I just heard episode 77. Black Ratchet said that Wiki doesn't allow visitors to edit CSS, but Wikipedia allows me to use div style tags. I agree with you about wikis. Cool tool, lame name. I don't know what would have been better, but I do know that York University Math Department uses a CMS with a great name. CMS is Content Management System, for those who don't know. Uses a CMS with a great name. Moodle. That's M-O-O-D-L-E. Wiki should have a name like that. The Moodle.org fact says, quote, what does Moodle mean? I hope I'm pronouncing, I'm from the South, I hope that's coming across right. The word Moodle, like poodle with an M. Oh, I just spit. Every time I say something with a P, I spit right into the microphone, and I know the listeners probably blows their eardrums. So it's Moodle as in, I'll turn my head away. Moodle as in poodle without the P. I had to turn away from the microphone to do that. What does Moodle mean? The word Moodle, and this again is from the Moodle fact. The word Moodle was originally an acronym for Modular Object-Oriented Dynamic Learning Environment. That's a mouthful, which is mostly useful to programmers and education theorists. That's a great term, by the way, education theorist. That's such a cool term. Think about that one. It's also a verb that describes the process of lazily meandering through something, doing things as it occurs to you to do them, an enjoyable tinkering that often leads to insight and creativity. As such, it applies both to the way Moodle was developed and to the way a student or teacher might approach studying or teaching an online course. Anyone who uses Moodle is a Moodler. So, Moodle.org, Moodle.org, if you want to check that out. Sounds interesting, and I guess we should just Moodle on to the next email. What do you think?
Let's go for it.
Unless you've used Moodle before, I haven't, so I can't really say too much about it, frankly.
Never even heard of it.
Yeah. All right, so let's Moodle on. We Moodle through the show every week. We may not have invented the word, but we sure do have it mastered, that's for sure. Next email is from White Rabbit. Hi, firstly, I want to let you know you have an avid listener in Finland. I have space available on my site, www.2600.fi, to mirror your Hack TV episodes. I'm starting to host what I believe is the first hacker radio show in Finland. How do I pronounce this? Hackery or Hackerai? H-A-K-K-E-R-I. What do you think?
I'm going with Hackery. Hackery?
Hackery. Hackery Radio. I'm going to go with Hackery, too. That sounds kind of cool, Hackery. What have you been up to? Oh, just a little Hackery. All right, so I'm going with Hackery Radio. We're probably wrong. You know that, right? We're going to say...
That whole last statement. But
if you know, if there's ever a question, whatever we guess is the right answer, bet against us. Because we're always wrong on pronouncing these things. And then I get hate mail of people who say I mispronounced their name. Where was I here? Let me start over. I'm starting to host what I believe is the first hacker radio show in Finland, Hackery Radio. It's in English and hopefully more pertinent to the Finnish Nordic hacker freaker scene. It's very amateur, but it's my way of giving something to the community. So again, that's 2600.fi, as in Finland. Hello. So go check that out if you're interested. And yeah, just give back however you can to the community. I don't care that it's amateurish. We're amateurish. You know what? We're not making money on this. We're all amateurs. We're doing this for fun. We're doing this for betterment of the community, to get information out there, to try to make opinions heard, try to get people information in a new and different way. So give back. That's all it is. Don't worry about whether it's amateur or whether the first part of your show didn't record properly and stuff. You'll get the hang of that as you go along. So shouts to Finland. Give it a shot. You'll get better. We have, I hope. And keep contributing. Keep giving back. So, again, 2600.fi. I'll pimp the site for you. Go check them out. The site, the show is available for download right there. Let's see here. Do you speak Finnish?
No. I barely speak English.
Is there such a thing as Finnish, or is it Dutch?
I don't know.
Or Nordic.
Oh, I'm a math programmer person. Come on now.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm just showing my ignorance here. I don't even know why I should even... Oh, well. Somebody will correct me. So, anyway, thank you, Right Rabbit, for the email. Another email this week I got from Ed, who says, greetings, Stank Dog.
How about that one?
I'm sorry?
How should we pronounce that one?
I'm just going to call him Ed. And what do you think? It's E-D?
I don't know.
E-D.
Should we call him erectile dysfunction?
Oh, you're killing me. Oh, come on. You snuck that in on me. Now I'm laughing on the air. All right. Erectile dysfunction. No, we can't make fun of the listeners. It's Ed. Respect. Greetings, Stank Dog, and the whole BR crew. New time listener here from the United Kingdom. Not sure how many listeners you have from the UK, but I thought, well, one less now thanks to Voodoo Hal. But I thought I would let you know. Always nice to know where your listeners are from, I feel. Yeah, I agree. And we do have some listeners in the UK, actually. So, anyway, love the show. Fantastic content. Just started to listen to all the shows after downloading them all through iPodder, which is how I came across your show in the first place, through the recent explosion of podcasting. I watched your first episode of Hack TV when it was released, but never really knew you had a radio show. Okay, let me stop right here at this part of the email. You didn't get all of the shows from iPodder because they're not all on our iPod feed. You may have come to the site and then subsequently downloaded them, which is, I assume, what he probably meant to say. So that's cool. I think we have decided on sending the last 8 episodes on the podcast. So you should always have the newest 8 episodes. And anybody who's listening and you want to go listen to more, you've heard these last 8 are the most recent ones, you can go to radio.binrev.com and download the previous season and the previous part of this season, too, that we're in right now. So check that out. He makes another good point that a lot of people either saw Hack TV from one of the links or news stories about it that didn't give a link back to our site or something like that, and don't realize that we have a radio show, or vice versa. A lot of people don't realize that we are listening to the radio show and don't realize that we have the TV show. TV show singular, but hopefully plural soon. A new episode will be out soon, hopefully. So we probably should do better about mentioning it more often on the shows, I guess. Can you hear me now?
No.
Okay. Anyway, let's see. The second part of this email, this is kind of a cool story here. I'll be going on a snowboarding trip for a week in France this Friday, and I'm going to play catch-up on your shows by uploading them to my iPod so that I can listen to them while on the mountains. Though I would add this to my email, as you would find that cool. Reading this email on your show would be fine with me and would also be pretty awesome, simply due to the fact that it would be very surreal if I was listening to the show on my iPod while being on the mountain, which is also the highest point in Europe. Now, that would be crazy. Anyway, I'm blabbering. I have a tendency to do that. So I'll leave it here for now, saying big praise to the DDP crew for all their time and effort within creating awesome content, the radio show, and vidcasts. I'll now be hovering around the forums, contributing content. So for now, keep up the good work. And again,
well, that's a question now, though.
Okay.
Everyone listen, well, I'm going to look it up in a moment. What is the max lowest temperature a hard drive can sustain without having errors?
Hmm. Well,
he might take our radio shows up, but he may not come back down with them.
Exactly. If he keeps it close to his body, inside of his jacket or something like that, though, that'll be a factor. Plus, I don't know. That's an interesting question. Surely somebody's run into that before. I mean, I'm sure people must be skiing and snowboarding and stuff with these things, so it'll probably be fine. It'll probably be fine. And if it doesn't, you can stick it in the... Wait a minute. You stick it in the freezer to save a hard drive. Wait a minute. So if it freezes up on the mountain, what's he going to come home and stick it in the freezer to try to save it?
Why have you been trying to stick a hard drive in a freezer to save it, first of all?
I don't know. That's the old myth, isn't it? That if your hard drive dies, you put it in the freezer to, I don't know, freeze the data? I don't know. There's some myth that it freezes the platters or something.
Yeah, that's why Spank is a programmer.
Yeah, and you know what? Well, see, and this is the thing. It's like this always comes up. It's in our forums occasionally. And I always say, listen, I don't think that works. I've tried it just because, you know what? When you're desperate to recover your data, you'll try anything. I've never gotten it to work. I think it's a myth. And I've said that on the show before, and I got email from people. It's an urban legend. They swear that, oh, no, well, my friend's boyfriend's uncle's cousin, it worked for him. It's never worked for me. So until it works for me, I don't believe a word of it.
And drop it in a big vat of water before you put it in the freezer. That way you know when it freezes, you're safe.
Yeah, sure. But don't hold me responsible. The comments and opinions of Voodoo Hal are his and his alone. I'm not buying anybody a new hard drive because you told him to drop it in a bucket of water on a mountain and freeze it. Oh, mercy. All right, so let's see. So hang out at the forums. Again, a lot of people don't know all of the things that we have in DDP, and particularly binrev.com. We have forums, we have a gallery, we have the radio show, we have the TV show, we have tools, we have just tons of stuff, you know, for all your hacking needs, and links to all of our other sites and projects like Doc Droppers and other upcoming things, Old School Freak, etc., etc. Got a lot of stuff going on, so please come to binrev.com and check it out. And not only stuff from us, but links to other sites as well. Go through the forums. A lot of people have cool sites and cool things they've got up there. So, by all means, check out binrev.com. Okay, so I guess that's enough pimping of the site. You can never have too much. I know what I was going to say. I was going to tell this guy to leave a geocache. If he's going on the highest mountain in Europe, take a geocache up there with you. Take a box. Put some stuff in it. If you don't know what geocaching is, Droops can tell you all about it, but go to geocaching.com, I think it is. It might be .org. I think it's geocaching.com. See what geocaching is, and plant one on the top of this mountain and see who, if anybody, ever goes up there. Put in some CDs of Binary Revolution Radio or something. Put a geocache on top of the mountain in the name of DDP.
He might be planting his frozen iPod up there.
Yeah, if your iPod stops working, put that in there as a souvenir. Somebody will probably bring it home and put it in their freezer and get it working, and then he'd be pissed. All right, anyway. Let's see. Let's do one more email this week. One more from Insomnia. Insomnia says, Stank Dog, listened to your stream for the first time 2 days ago after hearing about it on Off the Hook, Off the Wall, and have really liked it so far. Now, I usually have it running in the background when I'm screwing around on my computer. You were talking in depth about news groups, and just wanted to say that I use them daily and will continue to do so as long as they are around. If you haven't tried it, I suggest a program called XNews. You can get that off download.com, but you just Google for it, you'll find it plenty of places. It's perfectly free and is perfect for snagging files off of news groups or Usenet, is what he means. Keep up the good work, man. All right, Insomnia, thank you for the email. There are a lot of news readers out there, a lot of them. X News, obviously, you mentioned, Newsbin, Agent, they're actually pretty common. And some of them you pay for, but you know what? Cracks are very common for these products as well. A lot of people use these. Well, let me back up a little bit. When we talked about Usenet, we mentioned how Usenet is very, very similar to email. Very similar, almost same protocol, same formatting, et cetera, et cetera. And especially the way they both treat attachments and the way it converts it. Now, I'm not going to go into that all over again. You can go back and listen to that episode, which was two or three, four episodes ago, something like that. Well, what these programs do, Newsbin, XNews, etc., is go out there and mass download every post from all of the news groups that you tell it, that you subscribe to, that you tell it you are interested in. So it'll parse through all of these messages. It'll grab every single post from the news group at whatever bandwidth you give it. If you've got a DSL, something like that, you can turn it loose. It'll go through the message. It'll look to see if there's a file encoded. And we talked, again, I don't want to rehash too much, but the files get encoded, and you can see the header that says that there's an attachment in there. This thing just parses through them, looks for that header and footer record to tell where the attachment ends and begins, and pretty much ignores the rest. So it goes through there and basically grabs all of the attachments, if you want to think of it like that, all of the binaries, and downloads them for you automatically. So here's the quick version. Install it. Go subscribe to alt.binaries.erotica.star. Turn it on. Go to sleep. Wake up. All the porn you can eat. You have a hard drive full of prawn. I did this, I kid you not. I did this one time probably with, I don't know, an old 40-gig drive or something like that that was half full. And the next morning, when I went to my computer, was an error message out of disk space. It had downloaded gigabytes upon gigabytes upon gigabytes of porn and MP3s and anything that you could possibly imagine. It downloads fast. You can open up multiple threads, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So if you're interested in that, and who's not interested in prawn, check out XNews. Yeah, exactly. You're in your car right now. We should mention this to people. You're in your car.
Looking at porn as we speak.
I wasn't going to go there. I was actually going to tell the honest story. Actually, let's jump in. Let's transition into the show and tell.
The honest story.
Oh. Last time you were on, you were driving around looking for prostitutes. This time, you just went straight for the porn.
Well, I got a wireless access point in my house, and I've got a wireless PDA, so...
So
progression.
All right.
Wireless and wireless equals porn. Come on.
Well, we'll use this as a transition into our show and tell of what we've been working on. You're working on your cool new Axum, isn't it?
Yep, Axum X30.
And what do you think of that?
I guess my show and tell for this week is going to be a couple hardware reviews, if you don't mind.
Oh, no, by all means.
I've actually tried a smartphone and this PDA this week. Both of these were courtesy of work. The first was the Treo 600. And if anyone's considering a smartphone a palm-based smartphone versus a PDA of some sort, I'd say go for the PDA. The Treo 600 was nice, so I'll give them that. But the Axum has, for the same, around the same cost, a whole lot more. For the exact same price, this one came with 802.11b, Bluetooth, half a gig memory stick, a 624 megahertz processor, and 64 megs of internal memory. When you're looking at, the Treo, which has the SD slot again, it didn't come with a half a gig stick, doesn't have wireless unless, actually I think the 650 has at least Bluetooth. But comparing the two, this thing is just a dream. I can start practicing my worshitting again.
Oh, thanks for that image.
Well, what can I say?
Yeah, Wi-Fi porn in the bathroom. What more can you ask for?
No. Think about it for a moment.
Yeah.
Let's say there is a company that you've been trying to get into for, ever. You can't get a decent signal outside. You try your antennas. You just can't get it. And let's say it's either a retail store or a large corporate office. Well, most large corporate offices and retail stores have public restrooms. So you say, you walk in and say, hey, can I use your restroom real quick? Make sure it's a hot day. Act like you've been out walking the downtown area for hours and hours and you just have to go.
Do the pee-pee dance.
Walk in with your PDA or laptop in your backpack. Sit down and start wireless hacking. And you don't have to be shitting while doing so, but...
But they don't know that.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, it would make it more realistic if they decided to check up on you and there was a horrid smell wafting through the air.
Yeah, if you just grunt. Actually, you know what? That is pretty hardcore, actually. That's pretty hardcore. And it doesn't have to be...
A few times, honestly.
Yeah, it doesn't even have to be a retail establishment, honestly. You can go into a business, some, of course, have real strict security, but, if you go in and do the pee-pee dance or something like that and act like you're going to shit in the floor, they might, they might let you through. Oh, man, I said a bad word. Oh, well, piss on them. Anyway.
Yeah, fuck it.
All right. People say I purposely hold back. I don't, but I just regret it when I do. I feel dirty. I'm a bad, bad, bad host.
Stop looking at porn and get back on the show.
Yeah, exactly. I should be saying that to you, though. You're the one looking... Anyway, what else?
Dirty.
And how horrible is this that I'm thinking, how can I make that into a Hack TV segment? Nobody wants to see that. That's awful. That's awful. War shitting. I could just see the title at the bottom of the screen, War Shitting, starring Voodoo Howe. And hey, listen, all I'm going to do is tell you up front that I know we might be meeting together at a conference upcoming, but I am not your cameraman for that one. You're going to have to do that on your own, bro. Sorry, man, I can't help you with that. There's certain lines you can't cross, and I don't break the third wall.
We could get quite a few people to download that from different groups, like the guys who are into that kind of porn.
Yeah, people would be downloading it on NewsX. Be out on the news groups. And SCAT. In the SCAT news groups.
Hacker SCAT.
Oh, hey, I'm gonna hold on. Let me check and see if that's registered. HackerScat.com. Oh, man, did we take a nosedive on content all of a sudden?
What happens when I'm on here? Come on now.
Oh, I know. Actually, that note, joking aside, that is kind of that's a very sincere and very cool idea. It's worth laughing and being crude about it, but war shitting, I think, is absolutely a viable term. I think you just coined a term. I might actually register warshitting.com just as another joke, just as another play site. I might just have to go and do that. Somebody, if our listeners get to it before me. And, of course, I would have to put warshitting.info so that people would get information on what it is first. Oh, all right. Anyway, you got anything else?
That's pretty much it for me.
Well, I'll transfer, because we mentioned conferences, and I guess we'll kind of talk about, I mentioned before that Interzone is coming up. And I'm leaning towards going now. It's just making a decision on if I'm going to be able to present or not. I don't know what their situation is, so I'm going to have to make some contacts with people. But I'm probably heading to Atlanta in March 11th?
I think something like that, yeah.
I think it's 11th. Yeah, I think it's the 11th through the 13th offhand. But obviously, check out interzone.com with a zero. Interzone with a zero. Not com with a zero. That won't work. Interzone with a zero.
The new Hacksor DLD.
Yeah, I wonder if we can get one. I wonder if we can become the official Hacksor registrar for .C0M. And then, you know how many Fishers would be registering eBay.C0M and Yahoo.C0M and Microsoft.C0M? Oh, the phishing would be rampant. Can you hear me now?
I can not hear you.
I almost got you! You almost said yes. Oh, so...
on my Wikipedia, leave me be.
I'm looking at my year ahead for conferences. Gonna make DEF CON. I have to make DEF CON this year for a couple of reasons. One, because it's gonna be cool. Obvious reason that it's gonna be cool. Talk to a lot of people. I'm definitely gonna meet up. We have some plans of some things to do there, so I'm meeting a bunch of different people to hang out. It's gonna be a blast. And secondly, because there are some rumors floating around about DEF CON. I'm not going to be the one to out them here on the show, but I've heard things. I've heard things. Anyway, I suggest if you want to go to DEF CON, you might want to make sure that you go this year. And so besides the conference, I got to work that all out with my job and vacation time, et cetera, et cetera. So I got to figure out which ones I'm going to this early, believe it or not, and financially if I can afford to make them. So... got to start saving and planning now, so that's what I've been doing. And
quick, InterZone is March 11th through 13th.
Okay, confirmed. So please go check that out. I cannot tell you really a lot about it, frankly, because I've never been. You and I were going to go to the last one, and we both had things fall through on us.
Yep.
So actually, you got hit with work, and I just got hit with financial difficulties, polite word. So, other than that, we're going to have to be making some server changes, some hosting changes very soon. We've just grown far, far too big, and we're eating up bandwidth, faster than they give it to us, so we have to start now addressing a longer-term solution, and I will be doing... What's that?
Yes, you are eating up bandwidth.
Yeah. You can attest to that. It's a good thing. It's nothing wrong. It's just part of the growth process, and we just have to adapt and change with it. That's all. We just have to work some things out with it, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be looking into that heavily over the next month, I should say, and probably talk more about that towards the end of the show, too. I'm probably going to be changing over to new host. There's going to be some... hopefully I'll make it as smooth as possible, but I don't know when exactly. Of course, I'll keep people posted. We'll try to make a seamless transition where the forums don't go down and the radio show doesn't miss a beat and all that kind of good stuff. But that will probably be happening over the course of the next 2 months at the most. Probably sometime in February this will happen. So that's a big change. And I guess as long as we're talking about hardware, I mentioned before that I was getting a new monitor, I think. So I wanted to wait until I used it for a little while before I mentioned it in any detail. But I bought the Dell. Well, I shopped around, first of all. I shopped around, and the best buy for the money ended up being a Dell because, A, there were coupon codes available, and, B, it was over the Christmas break. It's kind of my Christmas present for myself, if you will. And Dell had another little promotion where you could get these little coupon codes for more discounts. So I was able to combine some discounts and get what I thought was a really good price on this. I think the model number is a 2005 FPW, but it's a 20.1-inch LCD flat panel widescreen monitor. So I had been using a 21-inch CRT. I didn't want to go down to a 19 LCD, so I was waiting for the prices on the 20s and higher to drop. So they finally did. I wasn't too sure about the widescreen and how I was going to like it and how that was going to work out, but it's actually pretty cool. It definitely takes some getting used to because your screen is just so wide that Well, silly things are become a pain, like wallpaper gets stretched and twisted to a so that it doesn't look as good. So you've got to do some, come up with some better wallpaper on your own, or find some out there that's close enough to stretch. But on the other hand, there's some good things about it. When you're editing, when you're reading any text files, reading something in your browser, editing something, code, you get a lot of real estate, left to right real estate on your screen to read your code. And you don't have to page as much and scroll as much because you get a lot more information on the screen. That is cool. And because of the widescreen nature, it's very easy to put things side by side. So you can compare code right next to each other and cut and paste easily without alt-tabbing 20 times or looking for your item on the taskbar, et cetera, et cetera.
You're going to be one of the fuckers that programmers want to kill who have code that's like 500 columns long.
No, no, no. I'm very...
It's specifically on mine.
I actually hard code. I put a cutoff at 80 characters for all of my code, except there's a couple exceptions where I can go to 128. There's a couple exceptions on some mainframes and stuff like that where it's better to go with 128, but that's a whole nother topic. Generally, I make sure that I put it at 80 characters no matter what.
All right.
Now, my text files or articles or something I might be sloppy with, but not my source code. Very anal retentive about everything being lined up in my source code. So, that's my show and tell for the week. And maybe... Actually, the main topic this week may fall under a show and tell because it's something that I've been playing with this past week, and man, that could be taken out of context really bad.
Back to the porn, huh?
I don't even know, remember how I stumbled across this. I was doing something on, I have two Windows boxes at my house. Out of six computers, something like that, a couple of them that are dead, a couple of them that are Linux, et cetera, et cetera. Got two Windows boxes at home. So I went over to the other one. One of them is my video editing machine, dedicated to Hack TV. I swear to you people, I actually do work on it. So one of the boxes is, and actually I just bought that recently, dedicated to video editing. And it's running Windows XP and video editing software, and that's it. And that's the one that I use to install Service Pack 2 on to test and see what it was all about. I still have not installed it on my other Windows box because I've got a lot of open source software. This is my open source Windows box, if that's not an oxymoron. It's a Windows, it has Windows XP on it, but all the software is open source. I'm proving that you can run open source software and do everything that you could do with pay software. Anyway, why am I talking about that? Anyway, on the other box, I put all the updates on, and I keep it up to... it's a Borg machine. I keep it totally Borgified so that I have all the latest Microsoft service this and update that and extra this, yada, yada. So, the latest thing, I saw that Windows came out with a new spyware tool. Spyware tool similar to Adaware is one. I can't think. There's a couple others out there.
Spybot, Search and Destroy.
Yeah, those type of things. Adaware, I think, is the most popular one, and it's pretty good. So Microsoft offers a new one now, right? It's a beta, I believe. But they have that to download at Microsoft.com, like I need to tell you their site. But it was interesting. There were some interesting things about it that I wanted to talk about. In and of itself, you know, okay, surprise, Microsoft copies somebody, you know, whatever. But it's the way that the whole process of this I found interesting and worthy of a topic for the show. First of all, to get this download and a few others now, Microsoft has started this new program. It's called the Windows Genuine Program. And basically, to download this spyware tool, and again, there's some other tools that they want you to do this as well, it's sort of like a registration process they want you to go through on their site. They want you to go there and validate and prove that your copy of Windows is authentic. So it has an ActiveX control. You have to use IE. How convenient is that? You have to use an Explorer. It did not work with Firefox. I do have Firefox on that box because it's so awesome compared to IE. I don't run a box without Firefox anymore. I wonder why somebody hasn't done a Dr. Seuss Firefox book yet. A parody. Firefox with socks or whatever. Anyway, man, weird show tonight. They have an ActiveX control that will tell if you have, I guess somehow tell if you have a valid copy of Windows. So, according to their site, it says it's not required at this time, but it could be in the future. So, you know, I figured, first thing I did is read up on it. You know, I don't click through anything until I read a little bit, do a little research first. I'm not going to blindly accept anything from anybody, especially Microsoft. So I went to reading through their FAQ and through their information pages, and it says, what do they collect to validate this? Well, they collect your OEM product key, the PC manufacturer, your OS version. Why did I say OS version? I should say Windows version. I'm not detecting any other OS besides Windows. PIDS ID, BIOS information, BIOS MD5 checksum. Interesting. So I thought that was interesting. And then, I just found this funny. Again, it's ironic. One question from the FAQ that says, quote, are ActiveX controls safe to run on my PC? Now, again, this is an ActiveX control that will scan and get that information that I listed earlier. Are ActiveX controls safe to run on my PC? Because, as you know, with Service Pack 2 especially, it'll pop up and say, warning, you're about to run this ActiveX control, do you blah, blah, blah. The answer from the FAQ says, as long as the control comes signed by a publisher you trust, then the ActiveX control can be safely run on your PC. The ActiveX control used by Windows Genuine Advantage is signed by Microsoft Corporation. If you do not see sufficient evidence of the signature, then you should not download the control. So if I should download it if it comes signed by a publisher I trust. I don't trust Microsoft Corporation. And they're the signing agency here, so where does that put me? I don't trust them to sign it. They're signing their own certificate, which, first of all, I won't even go into how colossally stupid that is. Oh, yeah, we signed our own certificate. Trust us, it's valid. That's like some guy signing Babe Ruth to a baseball and saying, no, trust me, it's real. Come on. Seriously, that's just a dumb idea. How can you trust a Microsoft sign? That's just dumb, and I just thought it was funny because what if you don't trust Microsoft? Which I don't. They're the only place to get this, or are they? And that's something else I'm going to talk about in a minute. The process itself. Okay, so all that being said, over on that box, I want it to be Borgified. That's the whole point, and so I can keep up with what Microsoft is doing and watch it and see what all this stuff. So I went through the process on that one computer, start to finish, validating my copy of Windows, all the way to downloading the tool, etc., etc. So, first of all, in the site, Microsoft has set up a site called HowToTell, HowToTell.com, which just redirects you to a Microsoft subdirectory. But if you want to validate your copy of Windows and download this, that's the starting point, or that's at least the point to do the Genuine Advantage program where you validate your key. So the first thing it wants to do is, again, it's an ActiveX control, so I wanted to validate my license via ActiveX. Then they allowed me to download the anti-spyware. Now what they did for the licensing, by the way, is it comes up with a little control that basically says type in your number from the sticker, the little hologram sticker that all the Windows comes with for the last few years since 2000 or so. The little hologram has the little 5-node key with 5 characters in each one. You enter that in. It associates that with the other things that I mentioned earlier to tie you down to one computer. There's enough information there. They claim in their FAQ they don't collect any, quote, personally identifiable information, or PII, which is a very important term that we went into many episodes ago. A legal term as far as computer privacy goes, PII. They claim they don't collect any PII. However, using the things we mentioned before, the key that you put on there, the type of computer you have, the BIOS information, and the MD5 checksum they put on the BIOS, etc., they can tie it down to that computer very closely, very precisely. So it's very much something that's easily can be targeted. You know what I mean?
I'm with you.
Is that making sense? Does that sound scary, or does that sound not so much?
I think it's Microsoft finally coming forward with stuff that they've already been doing, but that's just me.
Well, that
that's
could...
why I'm so frightened of it.
Yeah, that may very well be true. You're absolutely right. And to take that a step further, they may say they're not collecting it here, but they have... Okay, this is a database of the things that I mentioned earlier and the key that you just put in and authenticated. So you tied that key to that machine is basically what this database does. Ties your that key to that machine is basically what this database effectively does. The second thing is, that's database number one. The other thing you need to put all of this in perspective is, if you have a, what do they call it, a passport account. If you have a passport account, which is database B, it's not necessarily irrelevant. In database B over there, you've got your personal information, like your name and address and stuff that you filled out when you signed up for a Hotmail account or a TechNet account or any of the other Microsoft services or passport services or anything like that. And if they can just come up with a key, a way to link those two tables together, they've got your personally identifiable information, and they've got it tied to your license, to your computer, and they just synchronize all this stuff together. So I'm assuming that they do that and have done that. And like you said, they've probably been doing that to a certain extent. So that, to me, is a little scary. That's very... it's very scary. So, I would not, in general, bother to go through with this genuine process and give them any more information than they already have. However, on that one box, for the sake of science, I did go ahead and go through with it and downloaded their anti-spyware tool. So, one thing interesting about this that caught my eye, first of all, is that when I was done with the authentication, which it's a box from Dell, it comes pre-installed with Windows. Of course, it's a valid copy of Windows, for crying out loud.
Dell.
Yeah. It's a refurbished Dell. I mean, it's not a good Dell. It's a cheap Dell. The URL that it generated for me to download was interesting and caught my eye. The URL itself did not take me to just a download site or a download link, you know, in a subdirectory somewhere that was protected in any way. The URL itself had a very long string of characters in it that, I guess, all I can say is if... Oh, man, I don't know how to put this in order. Help me with this, Voodoo Hallet. It's not a session key. Session keys have a distinctive look, and I don't know how to describe that.
Right.
Session keys have a distinctive look in the characters that it can use as part of a session key. It can use alpha, numeric, special characters, etc.
Right.
This did not use that, so it was not a session key. However, it was something that was dynamically generated. What it looked like was some sort of key that you get when you register a Microsoft product in general. Like, it seems like I've seen it. It's like a... three nodes. One, the first part has, I think, five or six characters. The middle one...
The office type key that they use?
Yeah, you know, the key itself is five sections with five or six numbers in each section. Or is it six?
Right.
But then after you register and you go into Help About and you look at your key there, it's not the same thing. It's a different key structure. You know, it's the hash, I guess, for lack of a better word. And that's what was generated and put into my URL. So the string that I went to download was something like, and I don't have it in front of me, but it was something like Microsoft.com/spyware/download/G7412-G6419 whatever the key, then slash, and then the .exe file. So to me, because it generated that specific key and put it in the URL, I think it did it for no other reason than to log and or pass that key on somewhere so that they could store that in a database and have that tied back to me. And that, again, becomes part of the algorithm, if you will. Combine that with the MD5 checksum somehow and or the code that I entered in for this authentication process, that they now have a way to prove that that is supposed to be downloaded to me. And I suspected... this was my guess at first, and maybe this will be come to fruition in the future, that since that was generated by a combination of two keys that I had uniquely identified to me, that would probably be only work for me. Wrong. I was surprised at this. I thought that because that was generated by some specific keys, that it would only work on that computer. It did not. I took that URL, I copied it over to my other computer, I copied it and pasted it. Well, I copied it to a text file and sent it over. I didn't copy and paste it through space and time. But I copied and pasted it over to a text file over to this system and tried to go to the same URL and download it. I was really expecting it to tell me that the hash does not match this computer and it not let me. But sure enough, it let me download it with no problem. So I thought that was really interesting, and I was surprised. I really did think that it would stop me from downloading it or come up with a thing that says, sorry that this URL has a key that does not match your license or something. It did not. It downloaded fine to the hard drive. It started. I went ahead and stopped it because I didn't need it again. But I downloaded it because the second thing that I wanted to test was this. Okay, fine. It would have let me download it. Maybe that's because when it downloaded it, somehow it embedded that key in there, and that it would only install on that particular computer. Maybe on the install process it would say, sorry, but this is the key that I was expecting, and this is not the system that it was meant for, or something like that. Again, I'm not sold that this won't happen in the future, but it installed with no problem. I brought it over to this other Windows box, installed it, started installing it, I should say. I didn't want it on this box, so I stopped it halfway through and canceled. But it did start installing. It worked perfectly fine to take that installation file and copy it over to a different system, and it ran like it was nothing. So what this means is that's a huge bypass to the whole authentication thing. You don't have to authenticate to download this freaking thing. All you need to do is, first of all, I don't know if other download sites might not carry it because of fear from Microsoft, but any download site could put it up and it would work universally. But if they don't, which they probably won't out of fear from Microsoft, all you got to do is go to a university, go to school, go to a friend's house, go anywhere. If you don't have a licensed copy of XP, which we're not condoning that you don't, or piracy, or I'm not even touching that. But for theoretical purposes, if you don't have a valid copy of XP but you want this spyware, go to a friend's house, go to school, register their stupid copy, download it to a USB drive, and take it home and install it. This is the stupidest way to try to stop people. It's because the point is not to stop people from downloading it. The point is to get that information about you and your system. That's the point of it. So, good job, Microsoft. Way to think that one all the way through. I'm sure people aren't going to be sharing this on peer-to-peer and handing it out to their friends and downloading it from machines that aren't theirs. Come on, that's just dumb.
Down with the man.
That's just, seriously, that's dumb.
I was going to get that in somewhere tonight.
Yeah. Really. Oh, and this one was just downright creepy. On the install process itself, the first thing that comes up, it says Microsoft anti-spyware, whatever, with SpyNet technology. SpyNet. Splash screen comes up with SpyNet technology. So, I don't know about you, but the first...
The NSA directly below that?
Yeah, the first thing that jumped into my mind, I don't know about you, but when I see SpyNet, my mind thinks Skynet from the Terminator movies. Remember Skynet's the computer that took over everything and caused the robots and the machines to rise up and... That's not cool! That's just wrong! That's just rude! That's just rude. They should have just come right out and called it Skynet, except they probably would have gotten sued by Universal Studios. Anyway, I thought that was scary, and that just kind of creeped me out. That's very foreboding. That's not a good way to start off. That came up on the splash screen, and I couldn't believe it. I canceled the install just so I could start it again and make sure that I read it correctly. That freaked me out so bad.
Well, if I told you the funny thing about their terminal services client...
What's that?
I always found this too humorous. Microsoft Terminal Services client for NT4.0 and possibly 2000. There, you could get this tool that you would put on a floppy to create, or you could run it to create terminal service client disks so you could carry them to another machine and install the software. Well, Microsoft, in its infinite wisdom, decided to call this application conman.exe.
Oh, that's great. That's how appropriate. How appropriate is that? Man, Microsoft, man, they do some stupid things sometimes. Boy, that's the understatement of the year, isn't it?
I think so.
That was the understatement of... Thank you, God bless, the show's over. I can't end on any better note than that. That was the understatement of the year. Anyway, so, back to the story here. I installed and immediately updated the software, so I had the latest definitions. There was an update, even though I just downloaded it. There was a newer scan, a newer library of spyware to scan for. So I updated immediately, started my first scan. I set it up to do a full in-depth scan on the entire system. And then I also decided, just for the heck of it, to go ahead and scan. As long as I'm doing that, I thought, I don't want to install this on all my systems. I wonder if I can scan across the network. So I connected to my file server. When I say connected, I'm sorry, I had drives mapped to my file server. So I went ahead and included them on the deep scan, and et cetera, all my systems that I could see are right across to over this one that I'm working on recording the show on right now, and had it start scanning. So it scanned basically my entire network. Point being, you don't even with all the stuff I told you about how you can download it and install it on these machines easily, I don't really think that you need to, because you can put it on one and scan across the entire network. So that's another kind of... I mean, that's a good thing, but I'm just surprised that Microsoft did it, you know what I mean? I'm also not sure, though, honestly, if when I'm scanning it a deep scan on another box... Technically, your registry on that box is just a file. I don't know if it scanned the registry on the other box. I don't know if it's smart enough to do that. It is a file, but I don't know
probably
if it was...
Probably not, but it is easy enough to connect to a remote registry on your network.
Yeah.
You can control the registry from any other box as long as you have credentials on it.
Yeah, so I guess you could probably have done that and scanned the other box completely thoroughly if it didn't do it on its own, which I don't suspect it did, because it has a different process. It has scans files first, and then it scans registry keys second. So I don't think it would have recognized the registry keys on a remote machine. But anyway, that being said, the scan finished, I think it took a little over half an hour. Scan memory, of course. 24,000 files checked. Again, including the file server with tons of miscellaneous files and downloaded and et cetera, source code. 8,700 registry keys. And... you know how much spyware it found? Zero. It didn't find a single damn thing. Now, I'm very careful about downloading and installing stuff. I'm not, you know... But surely there was something. I mean, I expected to see at least a few things. Some browser height. Something had to be somewhere in the cache or control somewhere that I missed. There had to have been something. It found zero.
And...
I just, either it sucks, or I'm damn good at avoiding spyware.
Careful with your porn, eh?
Yeah, I mean, and I am, wait a minute, don't get me wrong, I am damn good at avoiding spyware, but nobody, there has to have been some. I just can't believe for a minute. What I probably should do is run AdAware and see if it finds anything now. I should have done that for the sake of a test. And I think someone's done that online already. There was a link somewhere that I came across of somebody who compared them. And I think his comparison, however, said that Microsoft did pretty well. I think I might have to do this and for a scientific study now and see if AdAware picks up anything on this system that Microsoft says there is no spyware on. See what the difference is. All right, I'll put that on my to-do list. What do you think?
Do it. Sorry,
all right.
I was focusing on a hot brunette who just walked by.
Ooh, hey now. You want to get her on the show?
I would try.
Hey,
she's
baby.
Gone.
Oh, man. Hey, baby. Come to Butthead. let's see. What else about this thing that I want to mention? Comes with a System Explorer. It's got under the Advanced tab, has something called a System Explorer. That gives you a lot of cool information about your system, a lot more detail. It's kind of like your computer management tab, but it's a little bit more detail in that it looks at processes that are running in memory tells you not only the name of the EXE that's running, but who made it, some of the properties of it, some of the system properties that you might not be able to see otherwise. That was kind of handy, kind of cool. Tells you all the processes that you have set to start up with a computer upon boot. Tells you the name, the same information, where they're starting from, whether they're in the startup menu, whether they're a service that gets started up, et cetera, and who and what makes them, et cetera, things like that. It's got, tells you any shell hooks that may be going on, which is another thing that spyware does sometimes. It'll associate files with the spyware or Trojan application or whatever, so it'll give you a way to look at all the program associations and make sure that they all look right. And it gives you a list of all your IE plugins, because I know how many people love to have plugins for their Internet Explorer and how safe that is. So it'll show you all the IE plugins and their status and who made them and et cetera, so you can check those out. And any other settings in IE that could have been hijacked. Because, you know, one of the things that I see more frequently and I get more people ask me about than anything is, oh, I can't, every time I start Internet Explorer, I get porn on the screen. Well, A, stay away from the porn. Listen, porn is like a gun. If you can't use it properly, stay away from it.
Wait, people don't want porn to show up when they open up Internet Explorer?
Apparently not, when they have, like, wives and kids and things.
That's baffling.
Yeah, it's amazing. Who doesn't want porn? No, porn is like a weapon. If you can't use it properly, if you can't handle the responsibility, just stay away from it. Leave it to the experts, like me. I am the prawn expert. Stank Dog, your prawn expert. Thank you very much. So, it tells you about things like that, something that could have been hijacked, like pages or your search page, et cetera, et cetera. It has one of those, I don't know if there's a term for this, but the clean your tracks option, where it's like the thing that says clean up your most recent files or last open stuff and things like that. And the history of items, I don't even want to know.
Microsoft cleaning up after you looking at porn. Yeah.
That is pretty good, isn't it? It's got a cover. Well, I mean, like, you know, in the history of your most recent application, your recent documents, et cetera, which, yeah, it's going to show your porn.
A little robotic arm pops out of your keyboard with a tissue.
That might be. I think that's in. This is beta still. You got to wait for the final issue for that one, or final version for that one.
Hey, so basically, too soon, huh?
Yeah, basically, all of this stuff, all of these things anyway, and actually all of it altogether, the whole package, stuff that's been freeware, freely available with freeware, open source stuff, for years and years now. And yeah, and actually, the part that makes me laugh is when you sit back and think about this. All of this stuff is useful, don't get me wrong. It's all kind of neat, it's good. But isn't it just ironic, it's just so funny that it's a Microsoft tool that shows you how fucked up Microsoft products made your system. I mean, what am I missing here? Oh, Microsoft screwed up my system. I need to download a tool to fix it. Where am I going to download it from? Hey, I'll get it from Microsoft. What the hell, you know? Anyway, I thought that was kind of ironic, but anyway, that's a little review of the anti-spyware tool, and more to the point, the genuine program. It's worthless. I mean, I mentioned several flaws in the way it works, how silly it is. Don't, just because it doesn't exactly work or it doesn't have certain things you don't care about, don't blindly go through with it just for the hell of it. I did it for the sake of testing it out for everybody, and because I have it on a box that I really don't care about over there, so I still would not suggest people go through this. Don't go through this genuine stuff. Screw them. They don't need any more information on you. Don't do it. Do what I said. I suggest go to a friend's house, go to a library, go to a university, go to a school, go to the Walmart kiosk, for God's sake, if you have to. And ironically, how funny would it be if you busted Walmart using a bootleg copy of Windows in the process? That would be sweet. Go war shitting and out somebody's network, reporting their stuff, and download it, and then take it home and install it. So that way, they don't have you on database, you didn't register, screw Microsoft. All right, well, let's see. I think we've got a pretty full show. Yeah, we're going good, and we've got some things to talk about here at the end of the show. Unless you had anything else to add, I mean, I think we pretty much beat into the ground how pathetic Microsoft is in general, and it's particularly with this application. Which
the
application itself is actually is not so awful bad. It's just ironic. So, let's go to the shouts first. Let's give some shout-outs. And I need a breath, so why don't you do the shout-outs?
All right, first for me, shouts to whoever developed this new, what the hell is it called? Chameleon browser theme? I don't know if some of you read Flashdot. Check that out. I don't know if that's really a shout or a pimping their site, but it's K-M-E-L-I-O-N, or I-A-N. It's a pretty cool browser. Shout out to everybody on the forums, obviously. Shout out to anybody who makes it to InterZone to entertain my drunken ass.
Oh, that's going to be good.
You get extra shouts when you've actually entertained my drunken ass, but for now.
Well, so you play your cards right, you just might be entertained there, buddy boy. Bow-chicka-bow-bow.
Oh, God.
We'll make some snow cones! Oh, that's an old reference. Anybody who's been listening to the show for a long time might get that reference. That's an old one. Oh, okay. I guess I will add... I'm sorry, were you finished?
I'm done.
Okay, I will give shout-outs to Slick Zero, for giving us a cool mention on Off the Hook. Somebody mentioned it in the email earlier. They found out about us through Off the Hook. So, shouts to Slick Zero for giving us a mention. Good mention of obviously his show and our radio station. Very cool. Thank you for doing that. Shout-outs to Jaga. I'm going to call him Jaga. Everybody calls him Jaga. I'm going with Jaga. I don't care how he wants to pronounce it. Jaga. Shouts to him. I talked to him. I haven't talked to him since Hope, and we had a good long talk today with some cool stuff. And I guess a good luck here to Grokster. March 29th, they will be facing the Supreme Court of the United States for a decision on the liability of content on peer-to-peer file services. So, shouts to them. Good luck to them. This is a very big thing, very important. We don't do politics much on this show, so I'll just tell everybody to go read up on that. It's a very, very important thing. It's a big event. And quite simply, it's going to determine the future of peer-to-peer application on the Internet, at least for the United States. It's a big deal, so please read up on that. Email us, of course, radio@binrev.com. And I guess it's time for our big announcement. And that announcement is that...
Thanksgiving is sex change on March 2nd.
Oh, man. I was going to tease it. I was going to drag it out a little bit first. I was going to say, I was going to make it into a joke and say I was coming back as, like, Stankina? I don't know how to, I can't make that work. No, actually, the announcement is going to be that, effective today, this is going to be my last episode for a while. This is not the last episode of Binary Revolution Radio. Binary Revolution Radio will be back again next week, but I will not be hosting the show. I'm going to be off for at least the next month, possibly a little bit longer. I'm going to be taking care of some things. Like I mentioned earlier, I've just got a lot of stuff going on. We've been dropping a lot of projects lately. DDP Hack Radio up and running, Doc Droppers up and running, a couple more projects, that are going to be up and running very soon to put the finishing touches on. We're changing hosts. I'm working on, we put Pwned, a special episode up. I got Hack TV 2 coming up. Got to get working on the magazine. It's just, I've got to step back a little bit and try to get some of these things done. As well as, more importantly, you know, I've always said on the show that real life is more important as well, and I've got some real life things to take care of. Take care of my well-being, for lack of a better term. So I'm going to step away for a little while, and I'm going to turn the show over to my current co-host, Voodoo Hal. So please...
And we're going to change as we know it.
Please continue listening to the show, obviously. Continue sending emails to the same address, radio@binrev.com. Nothing's going to change as far as that goes. We'll still be on Tuesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. I'm sorry, 9:30 p.m. Eastern? 9:30, I don't know, I'm on 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Does that sound right? I don't even know when we're on anymore. That's why I need a vacation. That's why I need a break. Anyway, Tuesdays, Still be coming on every Tuesday. Voodoo House still going to have a similar format. Nothing's going to change as far as that goes. Still send in your email, your questions, your feedback, even for this show, any of the past shows. I will be around and available for the most part, but probably should be addressing your emails, Dear Voodoo Hal. How is that going to be?
Oh, boy.
That's going to be fun.
So, yeah, everyone address your emails like that, because I'll use a filter that sends it straight. No, wait, sorry.
Kill file. So, no, and actually, joking aside, I mean, you've been on the show a lot. People, we know that you can, you know the content, you know what you're talking about. Joking aside, you're going to do a better job at this than I am. That's the short version. You're going to do better at this than me. People are tired of hearing from me anyway, so it's a good break for the listeners to get a different point of view, different content, et cetera, et cetera. So it's going to work good all the way around, and hopefully something we'll do more often in the future so that we all get breaks and take turns talking about what we want to talk about. And hopefully this will be setting a trend for the future of the show.
So anyway. We'll have to warn everyone, the gratuitous cursing will probably continue because, as Pink knows, I really don't care.
Yeah, well, I don't really care either. I don't, or to put it into terms people might understand, I don't give a fuck. I just don't want to make it totally gratuitous. That's all I've ever said, and I don't know why it becomes a point of controversy. It makes me laugh. Every time somebody makes a comment or a joke about I'm censoring myself or I'm not censoring myself enough or why does he care? Because I do. Am I not allowed to make a personal decision to try to improve my language? If I fucking want to, which right now I don't fucking care, but some episodes I do. Is that so wrong? Anyway, okay, there you go. I can end on a rant. I'll end the show with a rant. I don't get it. I don't understand what people want. But you know what? You can't please everybody. You can't please everybody, so hopefully you'll have better luck at pleasing.
You're not going to please anybody.
I was going to say, hopefully you'll have better luck than I did, apparently. So, again, seriously, people, and if you're a new listener on the podcast, trust me, you're in very good hands. You can go back and listen to past episodes. Voodoo House co-hosted the show with me many times. Too many, I couldn't even count. I'm sure it's double digits, probably, out of 80 shows, so that's quite a bit. Familiar with the show, knows the style and everything. So I'm sure everything's going to work out fine as far as that goes. I have no problems with that. I also have a friend who's in trouble that I need to spend some time with on a personal note. So our closing music this week, our closing music this week is a song that I've played before. It's from Zerl, the same person who does our opening theme song, Z-E-A-R-L, Zerl, and this song is called Watch Me. If you listen to the lyrics, I think it's a very appropriate song to end on. And I'm going to give this to Decoder. Shout-outs to Decoder. Hang in there. Help is on the way. We're doing what we can do. So hang in there, man. And Voodoo Hal, I guess let's just go ahead and jump into it now. I'm not going to start it. It's your show as of right now, starting with the end of Binary Revolution Radio, Episode 80. You can lead us out tonight, and I'll finish it up for the first time.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Everybody, see you next week. Same hack time.
How's it go again? Oh, yeah, wait a minute. Same hack channel. Holy.
Watch me. Watch. Watch me. Start a revolution on. Watch me. Break down your bones. Smoke it up and cough. Watch me. Rush the cops with a bandana and a Molotov. Watch me, watch me. It's time to tear the system down. Already whining cause you wanna keep your crown. Change is coming near, no more fear. Take back these countries, these cities and these towns. Demand equality for women and end the class of racism. Justice, are you really down to make some change? To rearrange, it's not so strange. This shit is in our range. Trade me some death for some happiness. Rob the best and give it to the deranged. Pained exchanges, you got us working for some bullshit wages. I'm not paying no more rent for these cages. This is the moment in which revolution engages. It's time to set it off, it's time for war to wage. It's time to start a new age. Watch me, watch me. Watch me, start a revolution off. Oh. Watch me.
Lay down your bum. Smoke it up and cough.
Watch me.
Rush the cops with a bandana and a Molotov.
Watch me. Watch me.
Your concessions are just a joke. We learned a lesson when you try to get us with your coke. As right stag burn, we learn. Soon your Patriot Act will provoke. Where there's fire, there's smoke. Where there's a happy rich person, somebody poor getting choked. Where there's assassination and covert ops, you gon' find the CIA running dope. How can there be hope? No end, it begins in the road. Comrade, I see a fork. It's time to turn this wheel of time. We just need some more torque. Can we fight ourselves in this endless sea as we bomb so aimlessly like the cork? If it had been brought by the stork, would you even listen to the truth? I'm not so sure.
Watch me, watch me. Watch me,
start a revolution all.
Watch me,
lay down your bum, smoke it up and cough.
Watch me,
rush the cops with a bandana and a Molotov.
Watch me, watch me.
We need way more passion and better leaders. The ones we got are old-fashioned and greedy. Revolution in the streets, solutions is what we seek. Collusion with the righteous ones. It's an illusion that we won't need a gun. We'll use anything we can find to fight this. We're on a mission to right this, on a path of righteousness. You're not on the ground unless you're free. You'll never be down till you get political, see? Words trapped in time. Every syllable written to oppose capitalism and its lying. Meritocracy is a joke to me. No equality for women, people of color, and the children of poverty.
Watch me. Watch me, watch me,
start a revolution all.
Watch me,
lay down your bum, smoke it up and cough.
Watch me,
rush the cops with a bandana and a Molotov.
Watch me, watch me.
Watch me bring a corrupt system to its knees. Watch me make the capitalists beg and plead. Watch me fuck this whole system up. Are you gonna be down with me or what?